If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email, shirley@crosslinkradio.com.
Good morning and welcome to CrossLink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host, where we integrate the health from the eye teeth on down. Integrating oral and systemic health are imperative. And the more I look into all of these different aspects of oral and systemic health, the more important it is for everybody to understand what is going on. One of the things that I like to talk about on the program is what happens at a dental hygiene appointment. As I've alluded to a number of times and stated blatantly stated that health comes from the dental hygienist. The doctors, the dentists are just there kind of coming up behind us and fixing stuff that crashed because the dental hygiene didn't work, or it wasn't intensive enough, or there's some systemic issues that are not being addressed that are causing the teeth to break down. One of the things that we do quite a bit in dental hygiene practice is biofilm management. And there are a couple of new ways of approaching biofilm management that are kind of cool. And I don't know, they're a little bit different in that we're using air polishing more and more. Air polishing has been pretty big in Europe for a long, long time, and it's just not really caught on until, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years here in the United States. And the evolution of air polishing has been pretty staid. It's just been kind of plodding along and just changing a little bit with the times. We have new polishing compounds, and we also have a new approach to polishing in that we have a way of polishing under the gums to remove the oral biofilm that's living down there, so we don't have to use hand instruments necessarily to do that. The first one that came out was quite a while ago, and I ran across it at the Chicago Midwinter Meeting, and all I could do was go, "What in the hell are you talking about? Pardon my French." So I dismissed it out of hand a long time ago, and sure enough, it is proving to be one of the really cool aspects that we have available to us today in managing oral biofilm for the dental hygiene patient. So I would like to be talking about that today, and I found an expert, of course, because I don't know the answers to everything, and her name is Janice Biliadis, and I met her at I met her in Switzerland, actually, when I was speaking there a few years ago. Janice is an international clinician with over 35 years of experience practicing in Switzerland, Saudi Arabia, Greece, and the United States. She received her degree from Palm Beach State College, where she continues to act as a speaker, mock board examiner, and student liaison. Janice is very passionate about teaching subgingival biofilm removal and airflow piezo technology and sharing products and unique advances with other clinicians. Janice is currently a consultant with Eufriede, which is an instrument manufacturer that has taken a little step and got their toe into the piezo power scaling and air polishing department. Welcome, Janice.
Thank you, Shirley.
How's it going down there in Florida?
Oh, it's nice and warm and sunny, beautiful day. We're finally getting a little bit cooler.
Oh, that's nice. So where did you learn about air polishing and using a piezo scaler? First of all, let's start there.
A long time ago, back in Switzerland when I was working there, some 25 years ago, we started using piezo. And that developed into the air polishing technology.
How did piezo scaling turn into air polishing technology? That's confusing to me.
The first company that came out with the piezo, which was way before the air polishing, was EMS, Electrical Medical Systems of Switzerland. They developed from the piezo, they developed an air polishing system that would go subgingival as well as supragingival, so above and below the gum line.
All right, so How do you polish subgingivally? That was my first thing. It was like, okay, you're not supposed to be pushing air down into the pocket. You can cause an air embolism. And that's what turned me off first. So what was it that was different? And then did they also use a different powder?
Yes. The difference is the PSI that you're using. You have to be very careful with the PSI, which is the air pressure of what you're blowing into that pocket. An air embolism is extremely rare, one in 666666 million, so it's very rare. And you don't want to use a strong powder, the old-fashioned powder, which was mostly sodium bicarbonate, into the pocket because of the grain size. So what they have done is developed a very, very soft and gentle powder, glycine, which is a non-essential amino acid. That is the only powder that can be used subgingival at the present time. However, there is another powder in approval with the FDA, which is erythritol. But for now, what we have in the United States is the glycine powder.
Erythritol, do you know anything about that?
Yes, erythritol is a sugar substitute, and it has an antibacterial effect.
Okay, so I know that they were also looking at xylitol as a polishing compound. Do you know what's going on? I mean, how much do you know? Do you know more than that, or what's happening with that stuff?
Right now, we don't know. I don't know any more about the xylitol being used or why they are not using xylitol, why it is erythritol instead. I imagine there's a very good reason for it. But to this day, xylitol is still very effective and definitely in gums, mints, etc. But as far as an air polishing powder, I don't know why we are currently looking at erythritol instead of xylitol, but it is the same effect. I do know that xylitol is a 5-carbon sugar. Erythritol is a 4-carbon sugar.
Okay. All right. So now... The reason that we polish teeth at all originally was to get rid of the stain. And now we have new research to show that polishing teeth is effective at reducing the accumulation of calculus, the hard deposit on the teeth, and reducing the amount of stain and making it harder for the biofilm to form. So what is the purpose of polishing in the pocket? What's the gain there?
Well, polishing in the pocket is to remove, it's not only polishing in the pocket. The gain is you want to remove as much biofilm as possible. We know that most of the biofilm lives subgingivally. So by polishing into the pocket, you're removing a maximum of biofilm that is embedded in the tissue and the biofilm that could be embedded on the root surface. So the biofilm does not only live above where we are polishing, we know it lives below. We want that the goal, ultimate goal, is the disruption and biofilm removal. And that is what we can accomplish with air polishing. Air polishing is more than just polishing. We want to think of it as a therapeutic effect, more than just polishing for the aesthetic effect.
So with the air and with the abrasive, I guess I'm going to call it an abrasive, the powder, doesn't that just push the biofilm into the tissue further? Is there an actual effect of the powder itself, or is it just that it's mild and it won't ruin the root surface?
No, there is an actual effect of the powder. The powder glycine, we know, just like the erythritol, also has an antibacterial effect, like the xylitol. So there is an effect with the powder besides removing and disrupting the biofilm. And no, the angulation that you're at, you're not pushing it further into, you're pushing it out of the pocket. Because of something called the Venturi effect, which when you blow directly on that tissue, you get the tissue to open up and blow back a little bit. So it's sort of like what we used to do in curettage. We would stick an instrument down in there. That would not push the bacteria further into the pocket. We would take it and try to remove as much of that biofilm as possible. We can get almost the same effect that we were getting with our curettage effect of the old days when we would try to clean out and actually turn our instrument the opposite way and take out that very first layer in the pocket. So it's sort of the same effect.
Right. So in the old days, and in Wisconsin, we were not allowed to do this. We could use the sharpened side of the instrument to kind of shave off the diseased part of the soft tissue wall of the pocket. So if you can imagine, you have the root and the tooth is the hard tissue wall of the pocket. And then we have the soft tissue wall of the pocket, which is the gum tissue. And then what was done is that you would turn the instrument around and kind of cut that off from the inside. And then you would get tissue regrowth into that pocket. And then that was supposed to work better. But research project after research showed that that was not really all that helpful. So now we have a, but the idea was still to get the biofilm off of there. So when do you do the polishing then? Because the hand instrumentation does remove biofilm and so does power scaling. So what's the gain in using the air polish down in the pocket?
Well, the ideal is to use the air polishing first before we use our hand instruments and before the power instruments. So we're removing as much of that biofilm as possible before we start putting an instrument or our mechanical instruments in there. You have a better view this way, and this way, as a hygienist, you're not just chasing around the biofilm. You gain that. You're working in a cleaner area. Your view is better. You can see the calculus that needs to be removed. And not to mention, you're saving yourself a lot of time by doing this. On an average of 10 to 12 minutes per appointment, by polishing first with the subgingival powder.
You can save over 10 minutes an appointment by polishing first, subgingival polishing first?
Yes, the average time that is estimated is 10 to 12 minutes.
Wow, I did not know that. Okay, so you save 10 minutes, so that's good. But there was something else that you said that made me think of another question. Do you have to, how deep does the pocket have to be? Can you do this in a healthy sulcus too?
This can be in a health, absolutely, in a healthy sulcus. If the sulcus is greater than 5 millimeters, there is a subgingival tip that is used, a special tip.
And then what does the tip do?
It is a soft plastic tip, sort of flattened, if you want, like a flattened out perio probe. There's two holes on each side of it, and on the bottom is another hole for the water to go through. So the air and powder mixture is going to be coming out of both sides. It will come out on the tooth side as well as on the tissue side. So that's going to be removing again into the embedded area all the bacteria in that pocket.
Okay. So do you have to switch stuff? Do you polish the upper teeth with bicarbonate, let's say, and then you go through with the glycine? How does, you know, what are we doing here? How does this whole system work?
No, I basically use only glycine powder now, and that is because of particle size. Bicarbonate is more or less air abrasion. Glycine is true air polishing.
But it's not good at stain removal, though, is it?
Yes, surprisingly enough, what I have found is although it's gentle, it does remove the stain, leaving a cleaner, softer, smoother polish and much more comfortable for the patient. One of the big problems in the old days that air polishing with sodium bicarbonate was messy and painful for the patient, and we mostly used it on our heavy smoker stain removal.
Right.
Now with the glycine, it is biofilm removal, which is therapeutic, and it's not as painful or messy. Patients actually like it. They think it feels like a little spa in their mouth. It actually feels good.
So it doesn't kind of like prick the tongue? I know that my patients used to say, oh, it kind of stings.
No, not at all. The patients actually are just loving this. Does not prick the tongue at all.
Awesome. All right. So then you get your patient in and you do the oral cancer screening, and then you lean them back and get them polished, or?
Yes, the ideal is to polish first. I explained to them that we're not only polishing your teeth, that there is a therapeutic value here. We're helping to make the gums healthier and remove the biofilm before we start using the hand instruments. So we polish them first. We remove as much of the biofilm. That includes their lunch or dinner or snack or whatever they've had in there, which, you know, can sometimes not be such a fun job. It actually makes it so much easier because you're removing all of the, let's put it in a layman term, for lack of a better word, you're removing all the schmutz first.
Yep.
And then you can see what you need to remove and remove your hand instrument, use your hand instruments or your power scalers first, remove all of the bulk of what you see there, and then go back in and do your fine scaling with your hand instruments. So it's a lot less, people say to me, oh, wow, that was so much less scraping. Yes, I don't need to scrape as much because I'm removing so much beforehand.
Okay, so the idea of the bacteremia also comes into play here, I think, in that traditional, you know, bare naked dental hygiene practice does create a pretty high level of bacteremia, especially in patients that have a lot of biofilm on their teeth, or I like to say biomass sometimes. And so we create a situation where we pound the bacteria pretty much right into the bloodstream. And so by doing this, I think we can reduce the level of bacteremia, right? Because we don't have the open tissue and we're kind of getting rid of the bacteria before it has an opportunity to get into the into the bloodstream. Is that right?
I don't have studies on that, but logically that is sort of the ideal. It does make perfect sense, actually, what you're saying. But I don't have studies to back up that as of yet.
Yeah, we need studies like that because that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. These bacteremias are fine for you and me because we're healthy and we're walking around, but we don't know how sick some of our patients are, and the bacteremia could really set them back a few steps. I had a patient years and years and years ago when we were first starting to do periodontal therapy in the general practice, and his teeth, they were terrible. I had no business working on this patient, and he required far, far deeper services than what I could provide, and I was doing a traditional periodontal therapy appointment. And he came back after the first quadrant and said, I had such a fever for 2 days after that appointment. Do you think it had anything to do with it, or was it a coincidence? And the dentist I was working with at the time said, oh, no, that was just a coincidence. Well, it happened three more times with him. So that gave me a new understanding of what exactly we were doing to our patients, and we couldn't just ignore it. Addressing the biofilm first is very logical.
Yes, there are contraindications to using air polishing, as with normal air polishing or super or subgingival. An immunocompromised patient, anybody with a communicable disease or respiratory disease, you would not want to use any subgingival or supragingival air polishing.
Mm-hmm.
However, it used to be with the sodium bicarbonate, you could not use them on sodium-restricted diet patients or hypertension, Addison's, or Cushing's disease. Now with the glycine powder, you can use it on, there's not the issue of the sodium restriction or the hypertension. So that saves that group of patients. You can use the glycine powder safely on them.
Well, that's nice to know, because that is mm-hmm. kind of a problem. I don't see a good reason to be using sodium bicarbonate anymore. We have better polishing compounds now that have no big restrictions, other than obviously you don't want to have these powders floating in the air if you have a patient with pneumonia or walking pneumonia or whatever all they could be having, whatever respiratory
yes.
problems they have. So one of the things that, and this is where the glycine I think might really shine, is that I don't traditionally recommend polishing before treating a patient. Most hygienists like the idea, and it sounds really awesome to polish, especially if they have a lot of CRAP on their teeth, is how I say it. And So you want to get that off because you can't really see, but the interface between the biofilm and the tooth is very low pH, and the teeth at that interface are very soft. And if you're coming at it with pumice, which is, you know, lava rock, it's all nice and sharp and pointy, you're really doing a lot of damage to that enamel. But what you're saying about the glycine is that you go around that because it is soft and it doesn't have sharp edges on it, and it dissolves really fast, right? So it doesn't damage the enamel.
Yes, exactly. If we look at the particle size of regular pumice, which is 80 to 120 microns, sodium bicarbonate anywhere from 40 to 120 microns, glycine is 20 to 25 microns. That's a huge difference. So it's so much safer to use. On ortho patients, before we did not recommend using sodium bicarbonate ever. It was too abrasive. With ortho patients now, which for hygienists are one of the hardest to clean around all those brackets and pieces, we can now use the glycine powder, and it's you'll be singing praises and hallelujah when you have an ortho kid at 14 years old with a dirty mouth, and you can just take the glycine powder and spray and clean around those brackets for them. That's a huge
I'm totally with you. Along with the patients with a lot of biomass on their teeth are the kids with braces, because no matter what they do, unless they're a 17-year-old girl, their braces look horrible. Or if they're maybe 32, then their braces look okay. But for the most part, there's all kinds of junk, and it's just hard to take care of braces. It's really, really hard.
Yes, definitely. And for us to clean around all of those bits and pieces and wires, it's very difficult. Another important thing, Shirley, is for implant maintenance, we would never use sodium bicarbonate with that high particle size on an implant. This is recommended for implant maintenance. It is the softest, nicest way to clean around an implant and make sure that you've removed all of the biofilm. An implant doesn't have a tendency to get calculus or heavy buildup, as we know, but it does get biofilm, and that's what we want to keep removing around the implant is the biofilm.
Yeah, that's the big problem is that biofilm and how it can get into the bloodstream and sets up an inflammatory cascade even before it gets into the bloodstream that contributes to plaque deposition in the cardiovascular system. So the better you are at getting that biofilm off your teeth, the better health you're going to have. And if you can't do it, you should see a dental hygienist more frequently to get rid of it off of your teeth and off of your tongue. Can you use it on the tongue? How did
yes,
I say that?
Can.
Really?
Yes, and it's absolutely very comfortable. It's naturally sweetened, Shirley, so it tastes a little bit sweet. It doesn't have that salty taste that everybody absolutely hated.
Right.
Some patients liked it. The majority did not like the salt taste. So the taste is much more agreeable, and you want to use it lightly with a nice distance. You want to be about, I'd say, 6 to 7 millimeters away from the tongue. You don't want to hold it on the tongue. But it does not, if you use bicarbonate on the tongue, you would make a hole in somebody's tongue.
Right.
With glycine, it's much more comfortable. It's not an issue.
Because that's something that I've been struggling with quite a bit. The newer hygienists, probably since 2000, are all taught to do tongue cleaning as part of their training. And that was not part of my training. Was it yours?
No, absolutely not.
So it's a trick to get it back, to get it into your routine, right?
Yes. That's also an advantage with the piezo, is to use the larger piezo tip, the lateral side, and clean the tongue with the piezo.
So that to me is a lot smarter than having a separate tool on your tray for tongue, you know, scraping. So we have better tools now for tongue cleaning than we have had in the past.
Yes.
So it's not like an extra thing. You're already doing everything, and then you just kind of flip everything over and do the tongue. I wonder how many patients have had their tongue cleaned at a dental hygiene appointment like that.
I don't think that many. Now, the few people that I have mentioned it on and have agreed to it, I always ask them beforehand because some people are maybe a little funny about their tongue or they're gaggers and they just don't want to even go there. The ones that agreed to have it actually really enjoy it and feel good having their tongue clean.
Right. Tongue maintenance, as it's turning out, is a really big feature in what we're doing. Tongue coating in long-term care situations has been identified as a risk factor for pneumonia. So when you're at home and you have a big tongue coating, you have maybe not an equal chance because your immune system is better than people in long-term care. But just think about that. You got to keep your tongue clean.
Yes, go back to Chinese medicine, right? It's the first thing they look at.
Yep. And what you call it, Deb Grant, who is of Aura Spa, who does quite a bit of training in that kind of stuff, has a whole three-hour course on tongue cleaning and Chinese tongue diagnostics and stuff like that. So I'm going to ask her if she's using glycine powder and air polishing for that. She likes to do things that are a little bit more sedate, but I know she's a fan of air polishing, and using the glycine powder could really make a difference there.
Yes, yes.
So you teach this? Careful. Do you teach this, Janice?
Yes, we actually do hands-on courses through Hugh 3D at my office.
So how do people get in touch with you to get this set up?
They can reach me by phone or by email, either way, or go through Hugh 3D and just ask through Hugh 3D for a hands-on course.
So they can call your cell phone?
They certainly can.
And what is that number, Janice?
It's 561-201-4622.
Okay, good. So there is a way for them to set up. Do you have to have a minimum number of people to have the hands-on course, or will you go to an office with two hygienists and do the training?
Yes, for the hands-on course, they prefer 5 to 6 people as a minimum.
Okay. So are dentists also getting involved in this, or is it mostly still a dental hygienist thing? And what about dental assistants? Do they do air polishing?
We would love for dentists to get more involved with this because actually in the long run, they're the ones who usually end up paying for this equipment. So if they would just have an understanding of what it is and why their hygienist needs it and support their hygienist. And an extra 10 minutes is not so the hygienist can be in the kitchen having a coffee. It's so the hygienist can do other things that are essential, like oral cancer screenings and probing. There's so many other things that we need to do
right
in that appointment time. So that's the reason that it would be so interesting if a dentist would get more involved and understand and support their hygienist. Dental assistants, that depends state to state whether or not they can polish or not. So that depends on where you're living.
So really, if the state allows dental assistants to polish teeth, they could use an air polish or regular traditional paste polish.
I would assume to this date there is no restrictions in the bylaws. We'd have to check the state.
Well, there you go. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Janice, for enlightening me on subgingival polishing and with this whole idea of using glycine as opposed to some of the other powders. It was very awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. I enjoyed it. Have a great day.
You're welcome. So there we go. That was Janice Spiliatis, and she is a dental hygienist who's now living down in Florida, but she's got experience, boy, I tell you, all over the world in cleaning people's teeth, and I'm sure she has a really good perspective on how all of that stuff goes together. And just talking about her experiences with air polishing, which is far and away more than probably anybody else in the United States right now. So this is Shirley Gutkowski of CrossLink Radio signing off. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon. Wondering how to improve your oral systemic practice? Join me, Shirley Gutkowski, in my guided mastermind.
Each one-month mastermind tackles a single topic that's easy to implement because you and your colleagues plan it and implement it together. 1 month, one topic, affordable. Contact me by email at shirley@crosslinkradio.com for more information or to sign up.